Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 18 and 19. And I'm going to preach from two words out of these two texts. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 18 and 19. Give you a moment to turn there. Make sure you find it. I told them last night in revival, I had a preacher friend tell me this week, heard him say, we've got three stages in life. First stage is we're good looking. The next stage is, my, you're looking good. And the last stage is, doesn't he look natural? Fella told me at church last night, he said, my, I didn't realize your hair was turning so gray. And I said, I'll be glad when it turns completely gray. He said, you will. I said, yeah, when you get gray-headed, if you dress nice, you can go anywhere you want to go. He said, what do you mean? I said, man, I'm planning on attending funerals of governors and everything else. You can just walk in, plead ignorance, act like you don't know where you're at, what you're doing, and they take you right in and set you down. Go anywhere you want to go. So I'm headed that way. Might be getting older, but there's some things I'm not going to give up. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 18, and thou shalt do that which is right and good in the sight of the Lord, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest go in and possess the good land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers, to cast out all thine enemies from before thee, as the Lord hath spoken. Look in verse 18. The first word is do, and the second word is right. Do right. Do you know right is always right? God never does wrong. Unfortunately, man does wrong. But God does right. Now, we're at an age where we think that we can skirt around the teaching of the Word of God on what is right. We want to change what God said, what He meant. Did He mean it? Didn't He mean it? Did culture change it? But it's just this simple. You're either going to do right or you're not going to do right. You can't slow down on doing wrong, and slowing down on doing wrong is not the same as doing right. You're still doing wrong, you're just doing less of it. And you'll always get caught when you do less of it. And you try just to do it by slowing down. You've heard the story, I'm sure. There was a little village policeman that he had an intersection where there had been a lot of accidents there. And this one fellow in the town, he had no respect for the law at all. He would come up, when he'd come to the four-way stop, he wouldn't stop. He'd just slow down, coast right on through, look, coast right on through and kept going. The officer pulled him over and said, hey, you broke the law, don't do that. He said, coasting is the same thing as stopping. Slowing down is the same thing as stopping. He said, no, it's not. Don't do it anymore. Here's your warning. He did that every day for several days. And every time the law enforcement officer would pull him over, the policeman would pull him over, he'd say, slowing down is the same thing as stopping. He said, no, it's not. One day, the officer had it. He pulled him over, and the guy said, slowing down is the same as stopping. He said, no, it's not. He grabbed the guy out of the car, he took out his nightstick, and he started hitting him on the head. Real gentle, but hitting him enough till he could feel it. And he'd say, now, do you want me to slow down or stop? We're in an age where that we don't know right from wrong because there's not enough people that do right. Christians, most of us are what we are because of our influence. And when we lose that, we lose everything. A lady went into a local market one day. She had some guests coming, and it was a market that still had a little local butcher there, and he had a little freezer, kept all the meat in the freezer, and she came, she said, I'm having some guests for dinner. She said, I'd like the biggest, best chicken that you have. And he looked down in the cooler there in the freezer. He only had one chicken. But he wanted her to feel important, so he takes that chicken and beats it all around with the other meat and pulls it up and said, what do you think of this one? She looks at it and said, well, I've got several folks coming over. It looks just a little small. Said, do you have any others? He said, sure. He drops it back down, bangs around, pulls the same chicken out. Holds it up, says, how about this one? She said, well, that's still a little small. She said, I'll just take both of them. You know what the moral of the story is? If you don't do right, you will get caught. Doing right is always right. In fact, the Word of God tells us that if we do what's right, we'll receive certain blessings that only come from doing right. The Lord tells us in this text, do that which is right and good in the sight of God. When that happens, there's certain things that we receive, blessings that we get, just because we do what's right. For example, one blessing that we receive from doing right, and the only way you'll receive this blessing, is to be filled with the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit does not look for a vessel that is unclean and dirty to dwell in. The Holy Ghost wants to dwell in a clean vessel. And when we're filled with the Holy Ghost, you'll read in the Word of God the Acts account, the Acts of the Apostles. And when they were filled with the Holy Ghost, there were some blessings that was granted to them that they could not experience without the blessed fullness of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit gave them boldness, not harshness. There's a difference between boldness and harshness. I hope with everything that happened this week that you won't be mean and ugly about it. You can speak the truth and speak the truth in love. Now, some of you need to hear what I'm about to say. You need to lay Twitter down and Facebook down and all that. That's not where the battle is won. All you're going to do is get in a fight. Thank all three of you for amening me this morning, but it's true. You can be right and be bold and stand for what's right and do what's right and still not be harsh. I better move on. That's not going down too well. The Holy Ghost gives us boldness. I have determined, I don't know, you know, there's some folks, I really have to be honest, I don't know why we're so distraught over this. I have preached sermon after sermon and told you that Jesus is coming. And after Jesus comes and the church is raptured out, there's going to be an Antichrist. And the Antichrist, according to the book of Daniel, he favors what happened this week. He himself will be a homosexual. Why are you so distraught? Why do you want to fight with people? And by the way, homosexuality is not the only sin. There's more than that. He'll cause men and women to believe a strong delusion and believe a lie. And right will be gold and men suddenly will start calling evil good and good evil. That's the end time, but I've got news for you. Lift up your heads for your redemption draweth nigh. I have made my mind up. I'm going to stand. I don't care what happens. I'll stand on the Word of God and with boldness and love tell people we all have sinned, but God saves us from our sin. Oh, glory to God. He gave boldness. He gave harmony. The Bible teaches they were of one heart, one mind, and one accord. Harmony. Hard times just brings spirit-filled people together. It just causes us to get stronger and to say, God, we love you more than we've ever loved you before. He gives contentment. The Bible says they were unselfish. They sold all that they had and shared with others. Hey, you better get yourself in a place where you're willing to share a little bit with other believers, because in the end time, the devil's out to get every one of us. And he'd love to take every, he's a thief. He comes to kill and destroy and steal. He'd love to take everything he can from every one of us. But you know how we're going to make it together? We're going to share one another's loads and carry one another's burdens and help one another. And we're going to let the devil know he's not going to win out. The Lord is victorious. You're in a church that we're going to determine in our heart and in our mind that the more the devil fights us, the more we're going to lock our hands together and hold on to God and grasp His Word and say, Lord, we have victory in Jesus. He gave them great liberty. He gave them guidance. He gave them words to say, blessings that come. When you do right, you can be filled with the Holy Ghost. When you do right, you can have power in your prayer. If you don't do what's right, there's no power when you pray. They're just words. Is that scripture? Well, you determine what the Bible says. Let me just give you what the Word of God says. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and His ears are open to their cry. The Bible says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear my cry. I preached about the blind man a couple weeks ago, the glory behind the story. When they questioned the man after all was said and done, they started talking about the difference between Moses and Christ. And they were saying, you're His disciple, but we're a disciple of Moses. And He said, it doesn't matter if you're a disciple of Moses or a disciple of Christ. The Word of God teaches us plain. We know it that God heareth not sinners. And if this man is a sinner like you suppose, which they were accusing Jesus of being a sinner, you think we've got problems? They're accusing us of being wrong, but they accused Jesus of being wrong when He was on this earth. Accused the only one that had never sinned of sinning. But because they were right with God, He said, the prayers that reach heaven are the prayers of individuals whose heart is right with God. When we get to the place that we come to the Lord and ask God to forgive us of our sin, our heart is right with God, and we know when we ask God, He hears us because His ears are open to the righteous or those that do right. Another thing, a blessing you get from doing right, you get to be used by God. The Bible says, if therefore a man purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, and meet for the Master's use, and be prepared unto every good work in 2 Timothy 2:21. Do you know what he's saying? He's simply saying this. He's saying when we do good, God will allow us to be a blessing to others. When we do right, God will allow us to be used for His glory. You can't be used for God if you live for the devil. God's not going to put His hand upon anything that is sinful and wrong, including us. You say, well, preacher, I look around and I see others and I compare to others and I can't help what I do. I'm genetically disposed to this and genetically disposed to that. Well, I know in some areas we are genetically disposed. For example, there are good-looking people in the world and then there's us. And smart Ellie. I'll guarantee you, you find any ugly person you want in the world and follow them home, and when they get home and open the door, there'll be two more just like them inside. Guaranteed. But when it comes to doing right, don't you ever let the devil tell you that because of your raising you can't do right and because of your teaching you can't do right. There are people in this congregation this morning that had godly parents that put the Word of God in them and taught them right, and thank God for those parents. But there's also people that they never had a mom and dad to ever take them to Sunday school or Bible school or let them go to a youth camp, never read one verse of Scripture to them, never allowed them to go to church, never allowed them to learn anything of God. But you know what? They're doing right just like those that were raised in a Christian home. You make up your mind whether you're going to do right or not. That choice is yours. I'm sorry. You could not choose the home that you were born into. You could not choose choose the situations that happened in life. But I tell you one thing, I can choose Jesus. Oh, glory to God. Do right and others will be blessed. When we do right, our works are not hidden. It is a light on like a city on the hill. And suddenly, men see our good deeds. And we glorify God through it. Do right and you'll be a blessing to others. It blessed me this week. I text Billy Whitaker and I said, Billy, we've got a baptism. And he's always so kind. He hates when I say this, him and Allison. But I think you've got to show appreciation to people. We really do. And all of this that happens around here don't just happen. There's dozens and dozens of people behind the scene. But this week I asked Billy, I said, Billy, we've got another baptism today. And I need you to check to make sure everything's good out at the creek. So that we got enough water to baptize in. And I know what you're saying. That's ridiculous. We've had a lot of rain, but it works just the opposite out at the baptismal creek. When we go to the creek there to baptize, the rain washes the mud and the filler in and it fills up and it gets sometimes more shallow than it does with depth when we get a lot of rain. And he said, it's already taken care of, preacher. I said, thank you, Billy. You're a blessing. But what got me is when he texted me back, he said, you have to have a blessing to be a blessing. In other words, you've got to be blessed to bless others. Isn't that great? I'm glad that we're in a place where that we have been blessed and God doesn't expect us to be blessed, not to bless others. Everything that God, that we can't do everything, but we can do some things to be a blessing to others. And God will always honor that. Do right, and you'll enjoy peace with God. Do you know how I know that we're near the coming of the Lord? This may blow your mind today. Don't have one thing to do. I mean, I knew that would happen, but that's all predictable. The reason that I see that we're so close to the coming of the Lord, the Bible teaches that before Jesus comes, that people will forget their first love. And the love of many will wax cold. Now, he didn't write that to the world. He wrote that to the church. The first love is the Lord himself. If we love the Lord our God with all of our heart, soul, strength, and mind, we'll keep his commandments. But what's happened in the church world is now we've got competition from the world to have more love for the world or the things of the world. And those things can be a lot of different things. I'm not going into all of it, but let me just put it this way. Anything I put above my love for Christ has taken greater priority. And the love of many will wax cold. This week I had the privilege to preach in the oldest Free Will Baptist Church in the state of Kentucky. They have a beautiful church. Beautiful church. Seats hundreds of people. Just a great pastor. The pastor's been there since 1973. Godly man. Solid. And Ted was with me one night. We went back in the pastor's study. I took Ted back there so I could let him see what a fisherman could do. Preacher had pictures of him with big bass on the wall. And I knew that every fisherman wants to know where you catch bass at. So I took him back. We were looking at it. And I'd talked to the pastor there before. They have a little portrait on the back wall, the history of the church, a painting. A lady had painted this for him. And it's all across the wall. A mural has a picture of the first church and the second church and when they built on. And just the history of the different buildings they've been. First one was a log cabin, then a little white siding church, and then to a brick church and a bigger church. And it just kept growing. And I looked over on the other wall, and there was a white, black and white photograph. And I said, preacher, what's this? And he said, read down at the bottom there what's written on that picture. There in that town, in that little town north of Paintsville, Kentucky, they had a picture of one Sunday school class on Easter of 1950. That one Sunday school class of little boys and girls had more kids in one Sunday school class I would venture to say than we have sitting on the lower level of this church, one class. You tell me we've not gone the wrong way? I thank God for every child that we have here in the church. But I'm telling you what has happened, plain and simple, is we have lost peace with God. Because anytime you lose the love for Christ, you lose peace with God. Why is there such an absence of peace with God in our society? I think number one is because there's a lack of surrender. The more we surrender to God, the greater peace we have. I want every one of you, please, I know it's hard on your eyes, but look here. I'm not upset in the least. I'm really not. I'm so excited. I'm getting ready to see the one that I've loved and lived for and worked for all of these years. And I haven't worked to be saved. I've worked because I am saved. But I'm so excited that any minute the trumpet shall sound and we'll be caught up together to meet our loved ones and the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. I've never been more encouraged and never been more excited. And there's never been a greater vineyard to go out and work in. There's never been a greater need of souls being saved. We get to be busy for God. Out and reach out to the lost and rescue the perishing, care for the dying. We're going to do all of that. Lack of surrender. It's harder to get people to surrender their time than anything else to the Lord. Are we surrendered? Well, let me ask you this question. Don't raise your hand. Don't flinch your mouth. And don't raise your eyebrows. If you do, I'm telling you, I'll preach the shingles off your roof. I know who I'm preaching to. In the past year, month. Well, let's just start with a month. In the past month, have you invited anybody to church? Have you told anybody about the Lord? Have you led anyone to Christ? Surrender. Lack of surrender. Now, Bruce and Jamie, I'm saying this with so much respect. I praise God for what you all do. Don't we appreciate Him, church? I praise God for what you do. As your pastor, I support you with everything inside of me. But what they do doesn't release us from what we do. Because you can look at our church statistics and see the souls being saved. Just because we see that doesn't release you from taking the message to somebody else and caring for people that's lost. Lack of surrender. And do you know why we don't do a lot of it? We just don't want to surrender the time. It takes time. It takes time. I think another reason that we see it is a lack of knowledge of the Word of God. People don't have peace with God because they don't know what the Bible says. People right now are distraught all across this country because they don't know what the Bible says. In the end time, when the Lord comes, there will be a famine, and it won't be just for bread, and it won't be for food. It'll be for a lack of knowledge of the Word of God. It'll be a famine for an understanding of the Word of God. Every one of you can understand the Word of God. If you are saved and the Holy Spirit is in your life, and you can't be saved without the Holy Spirit, but if the Holy Spirit has brought you to conviction and you've surrendered your life to Christ and repented of your sin, and the Holy Spirit is in you and the Holy Spirit fills you, that same Spirit inspired this book we call the Bible. If you don't understand it, He'll teach you. I think another reason is lack of faith. Lack of faith destroys peace. For example, if you face cancer this week, and you get the report, you've got cancer. If you don't have faith in God, you're going to be shook. If you have faith in God, it may knock the breath out of you, but I promise you, you're getting back up. The Word of God will raise you right back up, and you'll march right on by faith, and you'll keep doing what's right, because the faith that is in you gives you a peace that you can say, I don't know where I'm going, I don't know what I'm facing, but I know the One that's in control, and He will take care of all of it, and I don't have to worry about it. My faith is anchored in the Lord. But the final reason is lack of right living. Lack of not doing what's right. The things you know that's right will cost you peace. When God lays His finger through the power of the Holy Spirit on our heart and says, don't do that, and we go ahead and do it anyway, the first thing that will happen, we'll lose peace with God. All of the wicked leaders in the Bible, when they started doing what was wrong, God would wake them up in the middle of the night, or God would send them a prophet. But they would know peace was gone. Samson, when he did what was wrong, wist not that the Spirit of the Lord was departed from him. So my word to you today, as an individual and to you collectively as a church, if we keep doing right, the peace of God will abide. And God will take care of it all. Do right.